KGM World Sports Day sale, thanks to Weeks Homes. Over 30 years building with steel, now hiring. And Tyre Power, your trusted tyre expert. Summer Scorcher sales on right now. How's this? 25% off on selected Toyo, passenger and SUV tyres. It's a great deal they've been having on the last couple of months.
Unbelievable. KG.
Do a great job. Woods. Well, our next guest. This is one where you always save your best for last.
Well, the end of the year.
Yeah.
What a way to finish on a huge bang.
Everyone's been asking me, when's he back? Is he coming back?
Exactly.
Has he left the deserted ship? What's going on? Well, he is back.
The chair is still in the corner.
You won't sit in his chair,
no,
will you?
No, not sit in that chair, no.
It's remarkable. Malcolm Jack Blight, how are you?
David Rudy, Ken Cunningham, lovely to talk to you, boys. Happy New Year, and maybe 22 can give up something of slightly different to 21.
Hey, mate, you sound refreshed. You must have had 4 or 5 weeks off. What's going on?
Yeah, no, a bit of golf and a bit of walking and a bit of sunshine. Doesn't the sun get in your brain? A bit hot now, but I get all that. No, it's lovely. It's been good. Good little break.
And the handicap's coming down, I presume, golf?
Yeah, it has been, yeah. I've just, the back's been all right for some strange reason. I've been doing a few more exercises, but how's your golf, David?
Oh, well, I'm glad you came in there.
Lighty, no, don't ask.
Oh, you know, just like you, just hitting him straight.
He comes in every Thursday and said, I hit him beautifully today.
What happened?
I putted beautifully. I've done this. I played outstanding golf.
Well, we both playing off around the 10 mark. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Anyhow, more importantly, what a year it was, and you were part of that tier, where the highs and the lows, we saw the Taylor Walker issues. There's been a few things there in footy which weren't so good. COVID, of course, you know, reared its ugly head. But there's some big things happen. And I reckon you'd have been pretty happy with Melbourne. You coached the lad that coached the first Melbourne Premiership, since 1964?
Yeah, it was. Look, it was a great yarn, wasn't it? I mean, there were some stories in the Advertiser. I really enjoyed it. When you think back of all the things that Melbourne did, they had the original football club. You know, in our game, apparently, started a few, just in front of a few others around the country. But so they had that great run in the 50s and 60s. So since 64, the coach that coached me, Ron Barassi, of course, it was coached by Norm Smith. And then I fortunately coached Simon Goodwin to a couple.
Yeah.
So the whole circle went back to Simon coaching Melbourne through the Norm Smith, Barassi and Blight era, I suppose. So I actually love the romance of football when it turns out like that. And Simon's done a wonderful job with that team.
Gee, it's amazing, Blighty, because he came so close. There were rumours going around that he may not hold his job. But what a wonderful way to win a premiership. That game when Bontempelli for the Bulldogs kicked that goal, I said to myself, They're home. And then Melbourne played some of the best football in a few moments you've ever seen, Blighty.
It was, wasn't it? It was one midfield took over. That was the Bulldogs. And then all of a sudden, the really good players, Christian Petrarca, Clayton Oliver, 24-25, they're just coming into their prime. Viney back into the team now as the third wheel. And then, of course, their skipper, Max Gawn, just dominated in the air. But what Petrarca and Oliver do, I don't know why the teams don't do this. And I've seen the Crows with the Crouch boys and their good players over the journey not use their legs out of a contest. Handball to someone flat-footed. These kids go. And they're like a Mitchell and a Lewis and those sort of blokes from the Hawthorn. All those sort of blokes. They use their legs first. Get out of trouble.
Not easy to get back-to-back, but they look cherry ripe, don't they, with their age demographic and a couple of inclusions as well. They look very strong.
Yeah, they certainly do. I just had a look at their goal kickers. Bailey Fritch has ended up with 59 goals.
Yeah.
If, you know, as a third wheel. McDonald got 33 upwards and backwards, and Ben Brown kicked 25 goals in only 13 games. Now, we all knew that he wouldn't kick 100 goals.
I
think we all knew that. But what he did, he took another player with him. So I think that Melbourne's recruiting with both Stephen May and Jake Lever, and then cherry-picking Ben Brown was one of the great things, like all those premiership teams in the last 10 years seem to do, just cherry-pick what they need.
Blighty, can I ask you about Port? How did you rate Port Adelaide's season?
Right. Now, I reckon this is a mirror image of 2002, 2003 and 2004. Now, if you remember back to then, they ran third in 2002. This is Port Adelaide. They ran fourth in 2003, and everyone had written them off and said they can't win a final, win the pressure finals, and then bang, in 2004 they won the flag. You know, these last 2 years, they've run third and third and been right up the cherry-picking top. I've got a feeling that it's between Melbourne and Port Adelaide this far out for next
year.
Whoa!
No Bulldogs?
This is this is their time. You know that it was a bit like the Melbourne team. The North Melbourne teams with Dennis Pagan and Wayne Carey visited the Premier Final. This is it. Third time, you either win it or you're out of it. And I think that finally, I know that's getting an older team. I know they've got some younger players. And I know we've got a pretty good Brownlow medalist in Lolly Wines. But I just think now, this is Port Adelaide's turn with the Jonases and the Dixons and those sort of blokes getting a bit older. Boak, all those, you know who they are. Mate, this is their turn. This is their year coming up.
Yeah, I just see it slightly different, Blighty. They got beaten on their home deck with all the favours by 12 goals by the Bulldogs. It's a lot to make up. And I'm wondering where you see the big improvement for Port to make that up.
Oh, I think it's very simple. We know who they are. Rosie, Dersma and Butters have better years injury-wise, and they start to get them through their midfield. It's got to get some more depth. I mean, Boak's a terrific player still, but they need another three or four players through there, and he's got to move them through there with speed and agility. And that's what the difference with Petrarca and Oliver. As they got to 24-25,
yep.
They were good players, we knew that years ago, but they used to handle all the bloody time. It used to drive me nuts. You know, and someone's got to teach him to run. If you don't see it, go. And tell you what, once you get the ball and it's your opportunity, people say that's selfish. I don't reckon it's selfish. It's actually doing the best thing. Handballing the blokes flat-footed drives me nuts, and Port do it a bit too often.
Now, how did you see the Crows year, Blotty, this year?
Yep. Yeah, I think there's been improvement, but one of the things I've got to find, I think we know that Schoenberg's, you know, he looks as though he's going to take the next step. Will Murphy... Will Jones at halfback looks a bit okay. Butts at fullback, I mean, he was the surprise of the year to me.
He was, everybody else.
Where do the goals come from? Can Walker get as many? I mean, he's still an okay player. I just reckon he's had some injuries over the journey. He's getting older. He just can't quite get off his opponent like he used to. So then you've got to look for Himmelberg. Phil thought maybe. It's going to be those two that are going to make the difference up forward. Plus, they've recruited some young smalls. Will one of them bob up and be this superstar forward to replace an Eddie Betts, which really hasn't been replaced, has it?
Yeah, they've got about nine half-forward flankers plus Fogarty. I think it's his last chance. Not his last chance, but he needs to
step up,
get himself fit, Malcolm, and kick a few goals.
Yeah, I think so. There's a few in that area, isn't there? And look, just remember, Melbourne have been nowhere for 50-odd years.
Yep.
It wasn't until the Petrarcas and Olivers turned 24 and 25. Now, some of the blokes are going to do that next year. We tend to write them off a little bit, coming in as 18, 19 and 20-year-olds. We really shouldn't. You know, the people internally should know and watch this. So we just got to see those little steps next year, a couple of those guys through the midfield. I think Rory Slaney looked a bit banged up to me, but I thought he started playing better later in the year. Laurie Laird's is still a good player, so he's okay. They've just got to get... Key's had a good year, but they've got to get some more help and a bit more pace through that midfield.
Now, Blighty, if you're on an escalator and Porter at the top, the Crows at the bottom, one's going up, one's coming down, when do you think that the Crows get in position to pass Port Adelaide? Is it still a year away, 18 months, or how do you see it?
Yeah, of course. It might be a couple of years, might even be three. Look, it just depends on how quickly Port Adelaide can hang on or recruit. Now, one of the things with this, of course, and this is the system now, and I've heard people say this over the journey, and when you're inside the club, you don't believe this. Well, you don't believe this. But I'm telling you now, unless you go to the bottom, and unless you stay on the bottom for a while and get some extra picks, and then as you start climbing the ladder, you can start nitpicking with your recruiting, you can't stay on top forever. Geelong are going to hang on for a year, maybe, and then they'll take their turn down the bottom, just like the Crows have. So the Crows are going to sit 2, 3, 4 years in that area, and then eventually you'll gradually move up. And then, I mean, it's still hard to win from there, but you've got to get top four, as we know, and I think that probably they're 3 years away from that, if this group of kids are going to be all right.
Port Adelaide's biggest disappointment, no doubt, the prelim. They got smashed at home.
Yep.
And the Crows, probably the sour note, was the Taylor Walker incident. It still resurfaces, but I like your analogy, Blighty. You say, okay, you get 6 weeks, he does that, then you move on. That's all he can only apologise so many times. And that was a massive story, the Walker one.
It was, and it was. I mean, it was 100% wrong. I mean, there's not even a question on that. But it's like anybody, you know, you do the time. And I've always been a great believer in that. We have a system in our land, the world where we live in, and it's called law. And in football, we have a law. So once you've done the time, I mean, please move on. I mean, yeah, try and learn from it. Of course you should. And everyone should learn from it. But he's done the time now. I just reckon just go forward.
Before we look at next year after the break, the rule changes, you've been strong on a couple. You still like to see the last touch and the 666, whether it be a goal or a behind scored?
Yeah, I would, David. I think it's radical, the 666 from behind. But I think it would stop, and I'd love to see them try it in the practice games, but it would stop just that whole team defence, 36 players in one quarter of the ground, which is still an eyesore in our game. I don't care what anyone says. Coaches coach to win. Whatever they think's fair, I don't have a problem with that. But the lawmakers must do something, and I just hope maybe this time, with a new look at it, maybe a new look, although it appears Scotty's not going to do much, is he? He's going to sit on his splice this year and just sit around and just leave all the rules unfold. Now, there's a lot of people like that, but you know what? A lot of people don't either, because if we didn't have red lights and we didn't have traffic lights, the world would be chaos. So 100 years ago, we didn't have traffic lights. So get over it, like, always.
I miss you on this day. Yeah. I really am.
Bridie, what about the stand rule? Do you like that or not?
I thought it was worth a try. I like anybody else, I think the game is about involvement. And if you're not involved in the game, what are you trying to do?
Exactly.
I don't quite get that as a moral issue in our game. I think it was worth a try. Early on, it looked fantastic, but in the end, coaches will coach to what they do. You know what used to, eventually what happened? The player would run on, and because everyone had been behind the ball, you had an extra behind the ball, they had nowhere to kick it to any half the time, and kicked it, you know, they're going sideways again. So the actual rule only helped for a moment, and then it just ended.
Yeah, exactly.
And the COVID, Blighty, you see, and we're seeing cases and cases. Thankfully, not too many people are getting sick. Do you see footy being interrupted next year? Like we sort of got through pretty well unscathed this year. How do you see next year?
Yeah, well, I've actually been following it a little bit. I mean, everyone's got an opinion on it. But one of the truths of the matter is it is out there now.
It's out the bag, isn't it?
Yeah, it's done. You know, the herd immunity, who knows, booster shots, all that sort of stuff. Please get those done. But I just wonder now, I think there's going to be more disruptions.
Yeah.
But you know what, as they're starting to say now, if you haven't been there and you haven't been really close, that is living with someone or spending a lot of time with them, maybe we can get away with it. But I got my fingers crossed. Because it's out there so much, the world is actually full of it at the moment.
I'm just
wondering. And I did read some stories on it that when this happened with the Spanish flu, it actually just keeps on getting less and less and less as all the variants come into it. But I've got my fingers crossed that all the experts in the world are saying, look, this is starting to halve and then quarter, then eighth. So hopefully that's the case.
Just outside of footy, the Olympics, it's amazing how they got them underway. And Australia win the T20 World Cup. You enjoy both those moments?
Oh, yeah. Emma McKeon, she actually won 7 medals in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And she's now our greatest Olympian in medals won. She's won 11 medals.
Yeah.
And she's gone past the great Ian Thorpe. I mean, this is a young lady that's just swamped the world with her brilliance. And, of course, the T20, as you mentioned, David, it was a thrill, wasn't it? We scared it, but not quite. But this time we did it right. And, well, what can you say? It was the one trophy that the Australian cricket didn't have in their cupboard, and they've now got it.
Now got it. Yeah, exactly.
Blighty,
right.
Great to speak. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to do Malcolm Blight's crystal ball.
And can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. Because he always thinks outside the square. Back with Malcolm Blight shortly.